Hi, this is Rose Angel Perez, and I'm here with Ali London, author of Gender Madness. Ali, hello.
Hi, we finally meet in person.
It's a beautiful experience to meet you in person. You really vibrate this beautiful, kind energy.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think everybody has a duty to be kind to others and to help people, and especially what's going on in the world right now. There's people need a voice.
Let's get into this book, Gender Madness. What was the inspiration about this book, if you could fill us in?
So I actually struggled with my gender for a long, long time. Since I was a teenager, I really questioned myself. And as an adult, I started to have surgeries. I had facial feminization. I had the hair extensions. I was identifying as a trans woman for a couple of years. And it didn't fulfill me. It didn't make me happy. And then I woke up one day and I was like, you know what? This isn't giving me satisfaction. This isn't making me happy. It's a temporary fix to a bigger problem. So I tried to address those issues. I became Christian. I started going to church. And I realized that, you know what, I need to change. I need to find the real me inside. I need to get that young boy that was trapped inside since I was a teenager to bring that person out. And, you know, and since then, I've been trying to speak up for these kids. And it's very sad what's going on. You know, there's thousands and thousands of kids in states like Oregon, California, Washington State that are being medically transitioned without even parental consent. I mean, that is a real horror to be happening right now.
We are having that fight. You know, we're in New York City, and a lot of our local elected officials are supporting gender-affirming care. They get angry at anyone who questions it. And I'm sure you know that people like Moms for Liberty, for example, they get so much heat. And I think it's beautiful for someone with your background, you're coming from the UK all the way to America to bring us this message. How is the American audience receiving your message?
You know, I think people really need to hear it right now, because there are so many parents out there that are really struggling with this epidemic of their kids being transitioned behind their backs. And the really sad thing is, a lot of these kids that are transitioned, they are told to cut off their families. So a lot of these families, they are helpless. They can't help these kids. And, you know, that is part of this trans cult, is to separate the kids from their family, the people that can protect them. And that is what we're seeing on a large scale. So, you know, I think for me, it's important to be in America, which is really the ground zero of where this trend is happening, and to try and help these kids, because, you know, somebody needs to speak up for these kids. I've been through it myself. I know the struggles. I know, you know, the self-hatred, the self-struggles that these young people have. And I just want to help them, you know, learn to love themselves, learn to be happy, and find that happiness from within.
You mentioned before that one of your journeys, very, very important journeys, was finding your connection to faith. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so finding faith for me happened last year around the summer, and I needed some direction in life. I needed a purpose. I was never happy. I was doing TikToks every day, which was kind of, you know, narcissistic. It wasn't helping people. It wasn't spreading a good message. So I just simply started going to church and started going more regularly, and connected with some great Christians and some great, great people. And it made me want to change myself. It made me want to be an advocate for the voiceless, to speak up. And, you know, every day I wake up now, I feel grateful. And despite what I went through, despite going under all those surgeries, I see it as a lesson. I see that everything that happens in life, it happens for a reason. Now, God has a purpose for everyone. So that's made me kind of reflect and think, you know what? What is my purpose in life? And I want my purpose to be helping people. And I've just been in Israel. I've just been trying to expose what happened on October 7th and give these families a voice, speak to the survivors, speak to the families of hostages. And you know, I'm trying to fight for people that need a voice right now.
Tell me about that experience in Israel. How was that for you?
Well, for me, it was, you know, I felt like I had to do it, because I felt like what's happening on social media is very sad. I mean, what happened on October 7th, 1,200 people, Israelis, Americans, British, Thai, Filipinos, lost their lives. You know, and people seem to forget that there was a lot of Americans. There are still American hostages, around 7, and it's not looking good right now. And I just felt, you know, a duty that I've got a large platform, I've got a large audience. Somebody needs to go there, go on the front lines. I was 2 kilometers from Gaza. I went to Kibbutz Far Aza, which is where they had one of the worst massacres. I was in the homes of these families that were burned alive. They were shot. Their pets were shot. Their kids were shot. and it was really, really sad. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that either deny what happened or have no sympathy simply because they have this kind of underlying anti-Semitism, and that's what it's down to. So for me, it was, I felt a sense of duty, and these people need a voice. You know, they've had this horrific attack, which is like their 9/11. And, you know, instead of the world uniting behind them and condemning this, a lot of people have been celebrating. And that is something the Israeli people are struggling with right now. You know, these victims that have been through these horrors are now, you know, there's a high suicide rate of survivors because they just feel alone. You know, how do they deal with that trauma? How do they repair their lives after that?
That's really, I mean, it's really even hard to even digest everything that you just said. I can't even imagine how that has maybe shifted you as a person to have that boots on the ground direct experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to speak about it online, but I think it's another thing to go there. And I felt like it is important because, you know, I was so upset by those videos I saw on October 7th, what they did to that 19-year-old woman, Nama, who all of us will probably know was in that viral video in a grey tracksuit, covered in blood, and she's still there. There's no update on whether she's alive or dead. And, you know, they cut her ankles so she couldn't run away. They raped her from both sides. They dragged her on the street. And then there was, of course, Shani Luk, the German-Israeli woman from the Nova Festival, and her body was paraded in a truck through Gaza as people spat on her. And I think, firstly, how was this able to happen? And secondly, why is the world not condemning this? Why did these women have to go through this? And it took the UN 54 days before they even commented on these violent acts against women. So, you know, for me, I felt like I had to go there. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back as many times as I can to try and help these people, help them deal with these traumas and help them rebuild their lives.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you know, once again, social media and mainstream media, when they can be impactful in getting a message across, they are failing the people.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw really in the last 2 months is a shocking epidemic of anti-Semitism being spread on Twitter, on TikTok primarily. And unfortunately, a lot of young Generation Z, they believe what an influencer tells them. They believe what Gigi Hadid says. They believe what a TikToker says. And we saw a couple of weeks ago a trend praising Osama bin Laden and justifying his attack, saying it was justified, you know, that all those Americans that lost their lives was justified because he is a freedom fighter. And that is the narrative that's being pushed to the young people. And they just blindly believe it. They're rejecting the truth. And that is why I think it's so important for you, for me, for everybody that has a conscience to speak up, because these kids, these women that lost their lives that day, they deserve a voice. They deserve dignity after what happened to them. So, you know, part of the war right now is also the information war and combating that online and trying to get the truth out there.
Well, Ali, I commend you because you are walking your walk, talking your talk, healing and bridging divides. You know, where your personal story and your journey, there's so many different decisions you could have taken, but you've chosen to not only, you know, talk about and admit some of the things that maybe you didn't understand back then, which is nothing wrong. Like, we have all been there in places where we thought we understood something and then we didn't understand it, and then we got more information, or we just, this is not who I am anymore, this is not me. But again, with what you're saying here in your book, your story, there's a connection of young people getting misinformed by the education system, by mainstream media. It almost makes it seem like the world is bleak, but yet, thank God there are people like you.
Yeah, it does seem very bleak. I mean, one thing that really struck me, I met a lot of people in Israel. And I have to say as well, Israel is a very multicultural place. There's a lot of Arabs, Muslims that live there in harmony. And, you know, they assimilate with the culture there. And one thing that is really tragic is the fact that a lot of people don't believe what happened to these women, that a lot of people just, you know, aren't giving these victims dignity. And, you know, that is the sad reality of on the ground right now. And I think it's tragic what these people have been through. We should be giving them love. We should be giving them support and saying, how can we help these people? How can we help them rebuild their lives?
Amen. Well, you know, one person at a time, people like you, I our co-host from Texas, Ruthie Gutten, she's Jewish, and she was the one that broke the news to me that you were over there. And it touched her. Her son just moved out there. And her son, and then shortly after was when they experienced that horrific attack. So, you know, the pain of a mother experiencing unknowns and not knowing what's happening over there is brings a humility and a reality that many people maybe dismiss because they see it on social media and they don't know what's real and what's not real.
Right. I mean, it's very worrying some for any parent that has a child there. And there's also a lot of Americans that are Israeli American. They've actually gone back to fight as a reservist because they want to, you know, liberate their country and make sure that these attacks never happen again. So, you know, these people need all the support they can get. They need people speaking up for them. And I'm not Jewish, I'm Christian. And that actually, a lot of people in Israel said, oh, we're surprised you're not Jewish. I was like, no, I just feel like I have a conscience, I should speak up. And they're really, they feel alone. They feel like there's nobody there. Only the Jewish community, only Israelis are speaking up for them. And why is that? That's wrong. These are human beings. They, doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, whatever, if somebody goes through such an attack, we should all be rallying behind these people. We should all be speaking up for them. So that is another tragedy, that these people are so used to these acts of hate. They're so used to anti-Semitism. I mean, it's been happening for thousands of years. They're used to that, and they shouldn't be used to that. No community should be used to people not standing by them, people not believing what happened. And, you know, I feel that we all have a duty. And I know it's, people think it's a political thing, you're taking sides, pro-Palestine, pro-Israel. We should be pro-humanity. We should be speaking up. And look, you know, I also feel very sad for, there are innocent civilians caught up in Gaza. We all know that. And everybody in Israel, from the government officials to everyone else, feels very sad for that. And unfortunately, Hamas is the responsible ones there. They're the ones that keep these people as human shields. And, you know, we should all be on the side of humanity.
I agree with you. We should all be on the side of humanity. Mi gente, Ali London, Gender Madness, get his book on Amazon or wherever you can get a copy. Read it, share it with someone or a young person who may be, you know, questioning. It's okay, you know, this is coming from a place of love. This book was birthed from that place. Thank you, Ali. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. And I hope to see you have a book one day as well. I'm sure you will. It'd be fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, mi gente. This is Rosangel Perez with Ali London, Gender Madness.